Good morning, friends. We welcome you to worship in God's house. We've been looking forward to this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we come with expectation that God is here and God is anxious to bless his people and to motivate us to accomplish his mission. God has a way of using every one of us. We're so different by age, by weight, by color, all host of ways we're different, but God has a way of using every one of us for his purpose. We think of that as we turn to the words from Matthew 5, the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do good people light a lamp. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's commence worship this morning with song number 2 in the songbook, All Creatures of Our God and King. Wonderful words that invite all of creation to come and praise God Almighty. Now this song, if you look at the songbook, you'll see it is penned by Francis of Assisi. And his dates are there, birth and death dates. And it tells you that this song is only about 800 years old. And it's lasted, it's endured, it's still cherished. And in fact, if you're current and hearing about the Pope in the news these days, you'll know that he has taken Francis of Assisi as his mentor, his namesake. Some have said in Salvation Army literature that Francis of Assisi was the first Salvationist. Now, how could that be way back then? But if you read about Francis of Assisi, you'll understand why that is. Well, enough church history. Stand, will you? And we'll worship together. The first two verses, please, by the Master. Thou fire so masterful and bright that givest man both warmth and light. Let all creation praise him. Alleluia. Verses 4 and 5.
Dear Mother,
thank you.
And now, to help us with worship, a vocal trio by Carrie Brown and her two daughters. Our Father, we are grateful this morning that we can have that confidence. All I know is that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for me, that I might be forgiven, that I might be in heaven. Thank you for that great assurance, that inward witness of your Spirit that tells us if we will take that step of faith to Jesus, our past can be behind us. Our sins can be forgiven. The guilt can be gone. We can stand before you without condemnation. And for that, we give you thanks. We thank you for every gracious influence of your Spirit. We thank you for the way all creation speaks about your creative nature, your ordered way of speaking your word to us, of getting our attention, of impacting us with the beauty all around. We thank you for growing things. We thank you for green and gardens and harvest and fresh fruit and fresh apples and all the good things. Lord, you are on the giving hand. You are an abundant God. We thank you for the creatures that you've put into our path. We thank you for our families. We thank you for those who've impacted our lives. We take a moment to think, who has most influenced me for good? And God, we thank you for that person. We thank you for the way you open up opportunities for us to be used by you. You open the door for us to be an influence on someone else's life. And we pray that worship today will just encourage everyone who's committed to live for you daily and to let their light shine for Jesus. We pray that it'll be a challenge for those who have yet to commit their way to you, who've yet to see that their life can be a powerful impact on others. Help us as we leave this place to be convinced that you love us and you want us to serve you and you want us to be your servants in a world that needs you. We pray your blessing on every aspect of this service, the planned and the unplanned events. We pray, Lord, you take and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The opening song we sang this morning listed a lot of different reasons to give praise to God. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing Alleluia. It goes on to describe many, many, many blessings of God. I have my reasons this morning to praise the name of the Lord. You have your reasons this morning. Maybe if we added them all up together, would they reach 10,000 reasons? I don't know, but this song we're going to sing lists a lot of them as well. Not quite 10,000 of them, but a lot of them. I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing 10,000 Reasons.
To sing your song again,
draws near, my time has come. My soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
giving praise to God. I think we have a praise thing going on right now at the beginning of our service. We just sang the words, your name is great, your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Lord, you are good. Yes, you are good. Lord, you are good to me. I cry out for your hand of mercy. Whatever you need this morning, it's available from God, and he is good. Let's praise him.
To invite our young people for Promised Land to go to the multi-purpose room, and junior high are going, that's grades 6 to 8, junior high are going to the teen room this morning, and the band is going to minister to us.
Good morning. It's great to see each one of you here this morning. The ministry of the band We are going to be playing a tune called Lord, You Know That We Love You. Some of you would have been around in the early 80s. I know that's dating me as well as perhaps some of you. But in the early 80s, this choir welcomed Howard Davies for a weekend, and he toured around part of the country. And this is his song, and we sang this when Howard was here. The words, for some, might be familiar, but it's a prayer, and I think it's fitting for the service this morning about being an influence in the lives of others. Lord, you know that we fail you, our sins, how sorely they grieve you. Many times have we fallen. Lord, lift us up again. May we walk to be worthy of the call that is ours. May your will and your purpose claim our undivided powers. Thrilled today to have a few people joining us. There's a special weekend this weekend for the Beatle family, and we want to welcome all of them. And we've got a few of them, actually four people from the family playing with us this morning. We've got Chris Beatle, Tim Beatle coming from Calgary, Simon Beatle from near North Bay, and then Chris Mitchell all the way from England. So great to have you with us this morning playing with us. I also am always encouraged when the average age of the band plummets a little bit, and we've been thrilled this year to have three young people join the band. We didn't get to welcome, I don't think, Simon Hopkins when he joined probably about a month ago, but we have Kevin Lau and David Moore joining us this morning up from the YP band. I think we should encourage our young people. Pray that you'll be blessed by this tune, Lord, You Know That We Love You.
Thank you. Good morning. Just a few announcements that I'd like to draw your attention to. Graham actually covered quite a few of them. It's great to see the young people in the band, isn't it? The other announcement I'd like to draw your attention to is Brian Beadle, 80 years old. Happy birthday, sir. And I'm looking at your family and I'm going, you've been busy over those 80 years. It's a great family you've got there, sir. A couple of other announcements to draw your attention to. Sterling Betts is now in Providence Village. So that's new news for us there. There is a number of individuals that we're asking for your prayer for. If you would certainly read through that list and spend some time in your prayer time before the Lord with these people in mind, that would be great. At this time, I'd ask the ushers to please come forward for the taking of the offering. And it's good to see Brian get up and come down because I know it's your birthday, but you got to keep doing this. I've heard a saying quite a lot recently, which is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. This was a quote by Albert Einstein. Today in Bible study, we were reading about the history of the Salvation Army, and one of the events was young people, young ladies, were being sold into slavery of all places in London, England. And the government, a law was trying to be passed. Twice it had gone before government to raise the age of consent to 16. Both times it was struck down. But the Salvation Army, you know, you think about it, these individuals at the time, they went out and they gathered 393,000 names on a petition, and they put it on a scroll, a long roll. So it was this giant roll. And what the army did is they put this on a horse-drawn wagon, and with all their bands together, with all the soldiers of the army, they marched it to Parliament. So the third time through the reading, it was accepted, and the age of majority was raised for these young ladies, I should say. So you got to thank the Salvation Army for the insanity that existed back then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Salvation Army. We thank you for those men and women who will not accept no. They must choose, or they have chosen, to drive for a yes for you. They reach out to many nations, over 100 nations around the world, seeking the lost, seeking the lowly, seeking the worst, so that they may know you and your Son and his salvation. Lord, we ask that you help us to be influencers in the world. Help us to influence our neighbors. Help us to influence our government. Help them to know and appreciate that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and you only want the best for us. You love us with a compassion that surpasses all understanding. Lord, help us be strong influencers, persuaders of the faith. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
At this time, if you could open your Bibles for the scripture reading. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 16. In your pew Bibles, it's page 858. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 16. Suffering for doing good. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
My desire to be like Jesus, a chorus that goes way back. Some of you will remember it as you hear the tune. Allison's going to remind us. My desire to be like Jesus. My desire to be like him. His spirit fill me. His love overwhelm me. In deed and word. Be like him. Just before we open God's word for his message to us this morning together, make this our desire.
My desire to be like Jesus. My desire to be like him. His spirit filled me. His love
inescapable. It's happening everywhere. It's as pervasive as every sound, sight, smell, taste, and touch, which become our experience. We're influenced often and much more than we might think. Influence, after all, is what the advertising industry is all about. They convince us to want what we never even knew we needed. Not all influence is of a healthy kind, we must admit. Many a parent has feared the impact of a bad peer relationship on their teenager. But the Bible this morning and our life experience will help us focus on influence and see how God uses it to accomplish his mission and his purpose on earth. First of all, I would indicate that influence often has a very small, quiet, insignificant beginning. Like yeast in a lump of dough, influence is often unseen. Paul asks, Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? This principle applies to both positive and negative influence. Influence is often subtle, like salt in the soup or a candle in a dark room. Yet that solitary candle can save a life stranded in a car during a winter storm. In the Old Testament, we see the impact of influence starting in small, quiet ways. In Genesis 12, we read that God called Abram to leave all that was familiar to him, to leave his home setting and many of his family members, and to set out on a trek whose destination he wasn't even told. God simply asked him to respond, and Abram obeyed. In Genesis 12, we read that Abraham set off, and Scripture records, and Lot went with him. A relative took the influence of Abraham's leadership and packed up and left with him. We look in the New Testament in John 21. After the crucifixion, Peter was devastated. He had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, and all that hope had been dashed. And not only that, he had denied his Lord. Peter was in a poor state of mind, to say the least, and he didn't know what to do with himself. So we read in John 21, "I'm going out to fish." He returned to what he knew. He was a fisherman at heart. And we read in the text, there were those with him who said, "And we will go with you." The impact of influence. I think of an elderly woman in my home core when I was growing up as a young boy. Her name was Mamie. She was a widow lady, and all the time I remember her, she was elderly. She was a very quiet person. She marked our lives, though, in that core, that little core, as we were growing up. She was a person who had a very severe speech impediment. So much so that she could never talk on the telephone. She could never have a conversation with you. About as much as she could get out was to call us dear. She was a quiet, sweet, elderly saint, always showing up on Sunday in her uniform, always there for Sunday school, Sunday afternoons, of course, and checking us in. She did the attendance monitoring and marking the card with the star to say that we were there. Always a loving touch and dear as we came in. You know, you can't have that happen to you for 10, 20 years without some of that sweet, quiet impact touching you. And it did. Many of us remember Mamie because she couldn't speak, she couldn't converse, but she could write, and she encouraged all of us by her notes and letters. But the impact of influence can be very extensive, even though it has a small beginning. We look in Acts 9, and we read, "In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha," which when translated is Dorcas, "who was always doing good and helping the poor. About this time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. And those that mourned her death heard that Peter was in a nearby community, so they rushed to him, urging him, 'Come at once.' And Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them." Now, Peter gets down on his knees and prays, and miraculously, Tabitha, Dorcas, is back to life. It's a phenomenal story about people who are really grieving someone, perhaps not a very prominent person, but someone who is there, a follower of Jesus, someone who was faithful, someone who used her own gifts and skills to provide for the poor and the needy. A small person, I suppose, on the world's stage, but her life, death, and resuscitation had a huge impact for God. The text says that many believed in the Lord. I think about Ruth and Bob Chapman, both Salvation Army kids, born and raised in the Salvation Army in the Hamilton area, and in their adult life, devoting decades of their Christian service to an African mission, along with their young family, with the Wycliffe Bible translators. And then the terrible news that on one of their many flights, the plane had crashed, and they were gone to their eternal reward. I remember the memorial service in February 2000 at Hamilton Temple. There were over 800 people there, and it wasn't the number that so impressed me. They were from around the world. The impact of these two young Salvation Army people growing up in their own core community, getting married, starting family, having international ministry. Wow, how wonderfully the influence that starts small and quietly and maybe apparently insignificantly, God opens doors and the impact can be very extensive. I turn to Acts 16 because I want to share this morning that influence sometimes shines best through trial. And in Acts 16, we have one of the accounts of the missionary journeys of St. Paul. And we find in this chapter that Paul and Silas are in prison for their ministry in the city of Philippi. I'm looking at verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And note this, the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, so much so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Talk about influence. Praying and singing in the dark. It's midnight. They're in a very depressing situation. They really don't have much hope about something good that's going to happen to them that day or the next day. But they are singing their faith, full of hope in the darkness. And then the earthquake releases them. "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." Influence, not just Paul and Silas here, but the other offenders, the other prisoners who had been listening to them, they didn't run away either. They were all there. And Scripture tells us that that day, the jailer and his whole family were brought to Christ. Paul and Silas's faith shone under the trial and the gloom of that place. Influence often shines best through trial and suffering. I think of Winnie Hancock. Here, when we got to Earl's Court many years ago, I learned was a widow lady living on her own in her own home, and she was blind and she was deaf. And one day in the winter, she took her garbage out to the curb and slipped on the ice and broke a leg or a hip, I forget which now. Of course, it put her into the hospital. And I would go to visit her. Now, you can imagine what kind of a challenge that was. She couldn't hear me. She was completely deaf. And she couldn't see me. She was completely blind. And so I would touch her, and I would take her hand, and I would have her touch the S's. And of course, there were others who wore the S's in Earl's Court Citadel at that time, but she figured it was me. And we started our time together. It was difficult, but it was always deeply moving to be with Winnie as she recovered from her surgery. And after one of my visits and prayers, I stopped to say hello to the younger woman who shared that room with her, and she took occasion to say to me, for the longest time, I didn't know what that lady was doing at night. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And she said, but I figured out that she's praying out loud, and she's singing her faith. What an impact that had on that woman who shared the room with her. Influence often, although we are handicapped, we are limited, influence often shines best through trial. Now, influence, is it something that we do in spite of our humanity, or is it because of our humanity? Some believers excuse themselves too readily for lack of influence. They say, but I'm too timid, I'm too shy, or I'm nobody special. But I really believe that little is much if God is in it. Do you believe that? Little is much if God is in it. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have all the answers. We just have to be willing to let our light shine for Jesus. We started with Jesus' words, let your light so shine that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I think of Stephanie, a teenager in Simcoe Corps a number of years ago, a member of the Divisional Youth Band, a rather vibrant young Salvationist, full of faith, heads off for her first year at McMaster University. It was her first time away from home, but she had determined to let her Christian light shine on the campus. And eventually, she developed a friendship with a male student who asked her one day, what is it like being a Christian? The question really made Stephanie think and pushed her for a response. You see, she had been raised in a Christian family. She had been surrounded by Christians all her young life, and she wanted to do the right thing. She didn't want to mess this up, so she asked her mom to pray. What's it like being a Christian? There were more questions, and more answers were sought. It was the Lord's timing, she could tell. God was preparing the way, and Stephanie, in her efforts to share her faith, stumbled often, but eventually she led her new friend to Christ. This was obviously the Lord's doing, and God had worked out his will and purpose through Stephanie, and Stephanie was completely blown away at how unthinkable it was that God could use her. Little is much if God is in it. He takes our little and makes it great if we commit it to him. Influence often multiplies and snowballs and grows. Remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? They were on the hillside of Galilee that day listening to the master's words. And it was time to eat. The crowd was hungry. And all there was one solitary lad who had brought his lunch with him, two buns and two fish. And the disciples were skeptical. But how far will these go among so many? They asked. But the lad offered the little he had. And Jesus received it. He broke it. He blessed it, and he shared it, and there was lots left over. how wonderfully our little can become much in his hands. How wonderfully the little offered to him can then grow and multiply and expand and be a blessing beyond all our imagination. Permit me to share a true story to illustrate. It was while we were at divisional headquarters in Hamilton that one of our employees sent me an email of something he thought he wanted to share and that I would value. It was the story of a Summer Olympic high diver, and the story goes back to 1968, a true story. And I'll share it with you, reading from the author's perspective, who was also a student at this university and was a Christian trying to influence the high diver for Christ. The author writes, the Christian writes, "Charles, the high diver, was very patient with me as I would speak to him for hours about Jesus and how he had saved me. Charles was not raised in a home that knew anything about Jesus. He had not attended church, so all that I had shared with him was a fascination to him. He even began to ask questions about the forgiveness of sins. Finally, one day, I put a question to him. I asked if he realized his own need of a Savior and if he was ready to trust Jesus as his Lord. And I saw his countenance fall and the guilt on his face. His reply was a strong no. In the days that followed, he was quiet, and I often felt that he was avoiding me until one day he phoned. Charles wanted to know where to look in the New Testament for some of the verses I had given him about salvation. I gave him the reference to several passages and asked if I could meet with him. He declined my offer, but thanked me for the scripture, but I could tell he was greatly troubled. Because he was training for the Olympic Games, Charles had special privileges at the university pool facilities. Sometime between 10:30 and 11 that evening, he decided to go swim and practice a few dives. It was a clear October night, and the moon was big and bright. The university pool was housed under a ceiling of glass panes, so the moon shone bright across the top of the wall in the pool area. Charles climbed to the highest platform to make his first dive. At that very moment, the Spirit of God began to convict him of his sins. All the scripture he had read and all the witnessing the Christian student had done flooded his mind. He stood on the platform backwards to make his dive. He spread his arms to gather balance, and he looked up to the wall and he saw his own shadow in the form of a cross. He could bear the burden of sin no longer. His heart broke, and he sat down on the platform asking God to forgive him. He trusted Jesus 20-some feet in the air. Suddenly, the lights in the pool came on. The attendant had come in to check the pool, and Charles looked down from the platform to see an empty pool which had been drained for repairs. He had almost plummeted to his death, but the cross had saved him from disaster. It's a true story, and I was impacted by it. And I thought my son Jeff might be, so I sent it to Jeff by email. Now, it turns out that Jeff had been witnessing to a fellow IBM employee, and he passed this powerful story on to her. She read it, and it opened doors for Jeff to talk to her further and lead her to Christ. If the boy hadn't been willing to share his lunch, If the divisional headquarters employee hadn't been willing to share the email with me, and I share it with my son shares it with an employee who's seeking Christ. You see how influence, starting small, but grows and expands beyond all that we could imagine. God wants to work through us. He wants to accomplish his purposes. But sometimes, you know, we think the sky is falling. That's the title of Chuck Colson's most recent book. We think the sky is falling. We look at the world and we say, look at that. There is war and violence and terrorism. There's murder in our streets. There's guns everywhere. There's disrespect. And on it goes. We can look within the church in the Western world and we can say the sky is falling. What's happening? We really can. And we can become a bit pessimistic and a bit negative. And where is God? And why isn't this working the way we think it should work? Why are things going in the wrong direction? Where are the heroes we once had that we could look up to, that encouraged us? I could list you the heroes in the Salvation Army that I had when I started out, and they encouraged me all along the way through decades. But where are they now? I said this once to an officer retreat setting to some fellow officers, and I got this response from a younger officer who said, perhaps without realizing it, you are becoming someone for others to look up to. Hadn't really occurred to me. But I think that's true. As we get older, we can mourn the loss of our heroes. We can be negative about the way things are going, or we can step up to the plate and we can realize God wants to use us just as we are. Influence. The unconscious impact of faithful living. Influence, the unconscious impact of faithful living, the result of prayerfully presenting each day to God as an opportunity to make a difference in another's life. There it is. The result of prayerfully presenting each day to God as an opportunity to make a difference in another's life. There's something quite deliberate about it. There's so much of life we can't control. But we are responsible for our attitude, for our countenance. I mean it, the way you look. You're responsible for the way you look. Our sphere of personal influence, we are accountable for that. And God has entrusted us with a tremendous power. We don't think of it this way, do we? But God has entrusted each Christian believer with a tremendous power, the impact, the daily impact of a Christian life. But it's our choice how we live it. I want to live it in a Christ-like way. Do you? To be like Jesus. That hope possesses me. We're going to sing those words as our response to God's word, as our desire, as our commitment to him. It's chorus 107. If you'd like to look up the words, they'll be on the screen. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. God is using so many of you to be the light, the salt, just where he has placed you in the world. But there may be some here this morning who haven't really thought about those possibilities that God could use even you. Then just present yourself to him, and he will. Just offer yourself to him without reservation, and he'll make you important in the life of someone else. Let's sing these words and use this altar for prayer and dedication, presenting yourself to the Lord who loves you. To be like Jesus. His Spirit helping me. It's not just a matter of us mustering up courage to be a witness, to let our light shine. It's our giving ourselves daily to do God's purpose, to live God's life in the world. It's relying on His life in us, His Spirit in us, His Spirit helping me. You see, He's the one that makes our life a power. His Spirit makes our life impact in the lives of others. Let's sing it again. To be Jesus in us. But it is possible. It does happen. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to shine through you, shine through me, with all our differences, with all our disadvantages, with all our disabilities and difficulties, yet still, God's hand is not bound. His purposes cannot be thwarted. He will work through His people. That's His chosen avenue. He has incarnated His mission through His people. His Spirit helping me like Him, I'll be. Are there others that would just take this moment of prayer here at this altar? God knows your heart. A quiet moment might help you just to present yourself afresh to Him so that you can let your light shine, perhaps in a very difficult setting, place where it's very hard to remain true. His Spirit helping me. That's the dependency we need if we're to be effective for Him. Once again, to be like Jesus. Thank You for the wonderful way You use Your people. Some of them not very prominent people, not very large on the world stage. People that others might overlook or count as insignificant, and yet You can take the salt and the light and spread its influence broadly. We thank You that You can take our little and make it much. And we come to You in the name of Jesus. We lay ourselves on Your altar afresh this morning, praying that You'll take the offering and make it Yours and make it count for Your salvation plan for the whole world. Help us just where You've placed us to live for You, to radiate Your love, Your acceptance, Your grace, Your forgiveness. We pray that really we will be Christ in the midst of the world's dilemmas. We can only do this by the indwelling of Your Spirit, and so we yield to him, we surrender to him, and ask that his will be done and your purposes accomplished. In Jesus' name.
Still in an attitude of prayer, perhaps you'd like to turn to the brochure within your Scarborough spirit. Over the last few months, we've been praying for friends and family who don't know Christ, people we're intentionally trying to influence, not in a manipulative way, but in a loving way, getting to know them better, developing a relationship with them, because at the end of November, we will have a week-long time where in various venues, during the week, we will be showing the Billy Graham DVD, which is a My Hope DVD. And this little brochure here explains some of the thinking behind that and some of the purpose. And it also helps you understand the process that we've been thinking about over the last few months. And if you'd like to turn to the My Matthew List page inside, some of us here have been developing a list of friends and family, neighbors, co-workers, who we know would really benefit from having the hope that we find in Jesus. And we've been praying for those people. And we're going to take a moment again in this service now just to pray for them silently. And if you don't have a list like this, maybe you would like to start today. Start with one or two people that you have in your sphere of influence that you know would benefit from knowing Jesus, and begin to pray. You know, when I started my list, I could think of only one. And as I prayed for that one, another came to mind. And now I have 12. God just opens up your eyes to see who is around you, who would benefit. And then what amazes me is how all of a sudden I bump into this person or that person and have a conversation that I might not have had before. And as I do, I have a different purpose, not to coerce them, but because of loving them as Jesus loves me, I get to know them better and develop that relationship. So now we're going to bow our heads, and just for a moment we will take time to pray. If you don't have a list, you could pray for those around you who do, that they would be bold, that they would be faithful, and that they would be influencers for the people on their list. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we bring before you the names of our friends and our family, co-workers and neighbors who we would love for them to know you. We are grateful, God, that you have sent Jesus and that through Jesus we have forgiveness of sins and a relationship with you. And we know that hope. And so we ask, God, that you would help us to share. Help us to be good friends, good neighbors. We ask, God, that your light would shine through us so that they would see your love and your hope in us. God, we also have to confess, because sometimes we don't even really know if it's all going to work out. We can't see how you're going to work, and so sometimes we doubt. And God, we confess this to you today, and we ask that you would just instill in us a sense of your greatness, a sense of your power that can work through us as we come to know others and so that they can come to know you. We thank you, God, because you have promised to work. You have promised always to be with us, and we give you thanks for this and ask that you would bless this ministry, this core, and each person here as they are influencers, and that others would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the band would join us on the platform, we would turn to our final song, song number 400, Jesus is my light. It will be on the screen, but if you'd like the songbook, it's number 400. Why should life a weary journey seem? Jesus is my light and song. Why should I my cross a burden deem? Jesus is my light and song. All the way is marked by love divine. Round my path the rays of glory shine. Christ himself companion is of mine. Amen? Amen. Jesus is my light and song. Will you join me in standing and singing the three verses straight through? God is with us. God is helping us as we attempt, and with his help, are influencers for him. And as our sung benediction, we will pray that he is with us. It's song number 5958, O Father, let thy love remain.